Before we begin this episode, I wanted to make you aware of another frightfully good paranormal podcast, Ghost Haunted with Molly. And here's Molly herself to tell you all about her weekly show and where you can find it if you want to check it out for yourself.
Hello, my name is Molly, and I'm the host of the Ghost Haunted with Molly podcast. Each week, we embark on a unique and chilling journey across the UK, diving deep into its ghostly corners and unearthly shadows. Each week, I pick a county at random, wherever that is. That's our next haunted location. From the vampiric castles of Northumberland to the Pendle Witches of Lancashire, we explore it all. Ghost Haunted with Molly isn't just about ghost stories, it's a portal to the past. We breathe life into the legends of spirits who were once as human as you and me. We delve into their histories, uncover their secrets, and maybe, just maybe, understand their lingering presence. Don't miss the chance to be a part of this paranormal tour of the UK and eventually beyond. Find my podcast, Ghost Haunted with Molly, on Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts, and be prepared to encounter the weird and wonderful characters that continue to whisper their tales from the other side.
I'm Rob Kirkup, and this is How Haunted, the paranormal podcast where each episode we explore the horrible history and terrifying ghost stories of one of the scariest places on the planet, or in this case, an entire county of haunted locations. In episode 74, we begin an epic trilogy of episodes in which we'll head to Ireland, and I will lead you across a county as haunted as it is beautiful. In total, we'll visit no fewer than 26 places of considerable interest, with locations as varied as castles, an asylum, pubs, churches and cathedrals, a school, and even a river and a lake. And beware, as there may well be ghosts, ghouls, poltergeists and monsters at every turn. Strap in, as this one is most definitely not for the faint of heart, as I lead you on one hell of a ghost trail. Let's ask together for the first time, just how haunted is County Cork?
Listener discretion is advised, as each episode of How Haunted will feature gruesome tales, horrific happenings, bloody murder, and ghosts. So many ghosts. Listen on if you dare.
Welcome, brave souls and curious minds, to a place where laughter mingles with shivers. History whispers secrets, and cobbled streets lead to chilling encounters. Today we visit the vibrant county of Cork, not for its lively pubs and famously friendly folk, but for its hidden side, the realm of the spectral and the eerie. Think beyond Blarney Stone kisses and perfectly poured pints of Guinness. Beneath the bustling surface lies a tapestry woven with whispers of restless spirits, haunted castles, and unnerving legends. From the chilling echoes of the Cork City Jail to the sorrowful lullabies of Belvelly Castle, prepare to delve into a world where the veil between the living and the dead grows thin. Across this episode and the two that will follow, we will together journey into the haunted heart of County Cork. Allow me to be your ghoulish guide on a ghost trail, leading you on a voyage of spine-tingling tales of ghostly encounters, historical hauntings, and local folklore. Before we get our ghost trail underway, let me answer a question you may be asking yourself. Why County Cork? Cork is the largest and southernmost county in Ireland, with a coastline stretching 745 miles or 1,200 kilometres. It has been known as the gateway to Ireland for centuries, and with such an abundance of coastline comes miles of dramatic, unspoiled beaches. The city of Cork, which is the second largest in Ireland, is located within the county of the same name. And of course, you can't talk about Ireland without mentioning its friendly, welcoming residents who love the crack. But there is a dark underbelly to this county that is also known as the Rebel County, a name given to it by King Henry VII of England for Cork support in a futile attempt at a rebellion in 1491. The rebellion was led by Perkin Warbeck, who claimed to be Richard of Shrewsbury, Duke of York, who was the second son of Edward IV and the youngest of the two tragic young boys that have become known as the Princes in the Tower. Richard, were he alive, would have been the rightful claimant to the throne, assuming that his elder brother Edward V was dead, and he had been spared as he claimed. The county is the site of many battles, at least as early as the 9th century, when the fragmentary Annals of Ireland documented that people from what are now the counties of Waterford and Cork destroyed a Viking castle and killed the Norse leader known as Nimbulu. This is famously the last place that the ill-fated Titanic set anchor. And no matter where you are in the county, as you'll soon hear, you're never far from a site of historical significance. Nor are you a safe distance from the witches, demon dogs, lake monsters, and of course the ghosts and ghouls that are to be found here. Cork has witnessed strange, inexplicable occurrences for many centuries. A perfect example occurred in the city of Cork in 1621. On the 7th of October, two enormous flocks of starlings appeared in the skies above Cork, an unprecedented number of birds. One flock was in the east of the city, and one in the west. On the 12th of October, the two flocks attacked one another in a massive aerial battle. The city streets were covered in dead and injured birds. As dusk arrived, both armies of starlings flew out of the city. But 2 days later, on the 14th, they returned and they had an even bigger, more bloody battle than the earlier one. A much-repeated survey conducted by the AA Ireland Motoring Association in around 2008 found that 15.5% of Cork's residents claimed to have witnessed a supernatural occurrence. This was the highest of any county in the country and lends itself perfectly to our ghost trail. And of course, if you're listening to this when it's first released, St. Patrick's Day is just round the corner, so to Ireland we go in the first of a trilogy of episodes. Blackwater Castle. Our ghost trail begins in Castletown Roach, a picture postcard village just 25 miles from the city of Cork. And it's here we find a castle perched high above the meandering waters of the River Awbeg. Blackwater Castle stands as a silent sentinel, its towering presence commanding the landscape of Castletown Roach in County Cork. Enveloped by 50 acres of lush woodland and meticulously landscaped grounds, the castle's dramatic vista offers a tantalising glimpse into its ancient origins. A chequered and layered past, spanning centuries, steeped in folklore and haunting tales. The history of the area upon which Blackwater Castle stands delves deep into the annals of time, reaching back some 10,000 years to an era when early humans roamed the verdant hills of what we know today as County Cork. Archaeological excavations have unearthed in excess of 300 flint fragments and remnants of Bronze Age tools, bearing witness to one of the earliest human settlements in the region. This discovery not only attests to the castle's ancient lineage, but also establishes it as one of the few sites in Ireland with a confirmed early history. Delving further into the castle's story past reveals the remains of a deliberate construct, a holding wall that speaks volumes of its strategic significance. This imposing fortification, known as a Dun Cruder, was meticulously chosen for its extreme defensive position, nestled amidst a sheer rock face and surrounded by the protective embrace of the river. It served as a bastion of strength and resilience, offering refuge and resources to withstand any onslaught or protracted siege, a testament to the strategic acumen of its ancient inhabitants. This discovery of flint, human remains, and Bronze Age artifacts further underscores the castle's multifaceted significance, hinting at its role as not only a fortified stronghold, but also as a sacred burial site, a place where the echoes of ancient rituals and ceremonies reverberate through the ages. But it's not merely the tangible relics of antiquity that imbue Blackwater Castle with its enigmatic allure. Legends and folklore intertwine with history, weaving a tapestry of myth and mystery that cloaks the castle in an ethereal veil of intrigue. In the annals of Irish folklore, Blackwater Castle occupies a hallowed place. One legend dating back to the 3rd century tells of the Irish High King Cormac MacArt. He imposed exorbitant taxes, and when his demands weren't met, he had his druid priests cut off the supply of water through the region. The High King of Munster opted to turn to magic rather than cave into these demands. He sought the aid of Mac Ruadh, a renowned sorcerer who wielded formidable magical powers. Mac Ruadh's breath conjured fierce storms, returning water to the area, and he turned his enemies to stone. His very presence was a harbinger of awe and fear. In his final awesome display of power, he summoned the Hounds of Hell, who tore the druid priests limb from limb. In return for his help, the sorcerer was given land of his choosing in the area. He selected Caoli, within which Blackwater Castle now stands. This speaks to the castle's enduring connection to ancient forces and mythical realms. Mac Ruadh was wed to the Hag of Beara, herself a demigoddess with witch-like powers. But this story doesn't have a happy ending for the couple. Legend has it that the hag, consumed by jealousy and rage, murdered Mac Ruadh in a fit of madness, their tumultuous relationship culminating in tragedy and death. Both of their bodies are buried near to the castle. It appears the location of Mac Ruadh's remains are lost to time, but a location known as the Hag's Bed was excavated in the 1930s and the skull of a woman was found. Both of their spirits are said to linger within the castle's halls, their restless souls haunting the very grounds upon which their fateful union unfolded. Blackwater Castle has a Sheelan G, also pronounced Sheelan Gig. It's a stone carving depicting the female form, characterised by an exaggerated vulva. While such artefacts are rare, Ireland is blessed with over 100 of them. Many are associated with the establishment of Norman settlements from the 12th century. Their prevalence around these Norman settlements led many to suspect that the Normans introduced these symbols to Ireland. But the academic consensus now is that such figures are of much earlier origin. They have been unearthed in locations of significance, often associated with medieval churches. The Sheelan G has sparked lively debate amongst academics relating to its origins and symbolism. Some argue that it served as a warning against lust and sin. Others interpret it as a symbol of the divine hag, drawing parallels to the mystical legend surrounding the Hag of Beara. But it's most commonly accepted that the Sheelan G was more than a mere relic of superstition or religious fervour. Instead, it was a practical symbol, a beacon signalling the presence of a wise woman who offered counsel, herbal remedies, or midwifery services to the local community. In essence, the carving served as a tangible reminder of the invaluable role played by women in the social fabric of medieval society, embodying a tradition of wisdom and guidance that endures to this day. Yet amidst the legends and folklore that enshroud Blackwater Castle, traces of its tangible history endure, a testament to the resilience and fortitude of its inhabitants through the ages. In the 12th century, the Normans arrived upon the shores of Ireland, their eyes set upon conquest. Among their number was David Mor, a scion of the Roach family who sought to establish his legacy upon the fertile lands of County Cork. It was upon his orders that the first stone castle was erected upon the site of Blackwater Castle, a testament to the Norman ingenuity and martial prowess that reshaped the Irish landscape. Over the centuries, the castle evolved and expanded, its formidable towers and battlements bearing witness to the ebb and flow of history. In the 15th century, under the patronage of the great Lord Roach, a towering keep was constructed, its imposing silhouette casting a long shadow over the running waters below. From its elevated vantage point, the Lord and his descendants surveyed their domain, their gaze spanning the countryside and turbulent currents of the river, a potent symbol of their wealth, power, and dominion. But Blackwater Castle's history is not without its darker chapters. In the 17th century, during a time of political upheaval and religious strife, the castle became a battleground in the struggle for supremacy. Maurice Lord Roach found himself embroiled in a desperate conflict, torn between loyalty to his Catholic faith and allegiance to the crown. His valiant defence of the castle against Oliver Cromwell's forces would culminate in tragedy and loss, leaving behind a legacy of sorrow and haunting echoes that linger to this day. The spirits of the past are said to walk the halls of Blackwater Castle, their spectral presence a poignant reminder of the lives and legacies that have shaped its destiny. The castle had been in the Roach family for centuries, but it was seized by Oliver Cromwell during this parliamentary invasion of Ireland in 1649 and 1650. In 1650, Lady Ellen Roach, who was the wife of Morris, fought to protect the castle against the forces of Oliver Cromwell's consort, Lord Broghill. Despite their best efforts, they were outnumbered and the castle was taken. Lady Roach was imprisoned in the tower, and her six commanding officers were executed by Broghill's men, and their bodies were unceremoniously thrown into the river. Lady Roach herself was hanged 2 years later for a crime she did not commit. Her ghost and the ghost of her murdered officers now roam Blackwater Castle. She glides silently, seemingly unaware of those who see her, who describe her as wearing a dark, hooded cloak. Colonel John Widenham was gifted the castle in 1666 for his services to the crown, and it remained in his family until 1963. In more recent years, the late King of Pop, Michael Jackson, sought refuge within the hallowed walls of Blackwater Castle with his three children. This was a retreat from upcoming court cases. Today, Blackwater Castle stands as a living testament to the enduring legacy of Ireland's rich and vibrant history. The grandeur of this castle is the cause of the €1.9 million price tag placed on it when it was put up for sale in the spring of 2023 by Patrick and Sheila Nordstrom, whose family had owned it since 1991. I received an email in late 2022 from Sarah Wilson, who attended a wedding at the castle in the summer of that year. She wrote to me of a strange and scary encounter that she had when she stayed overnight at the castle. My husband Alan and I attended a family member's wedding back in August at Blackwater Castle. We live in Tipperary, so it wasn't too far for us to travel, around an hour. But we decided to have a few drinks and stay over rather than driving home. And I wish we hadn't. I wasn't drunk when I went to bed. I'd had a few glasses of wine, but not an excessive amount. I was woken at around 3 a.m. by the most horrifying thing I've ever experienced. Someone was screaming right in my face. I woke up and all I could see right in front of my face was darkness. I let out a scream myself, and Alan woke up with a jump and turned the light on. "What's wrong?" he asked. I could then see a woman standing over me. No doubt about it. She was old. I could see the wrinkles in her face, with long, dirty grey hair, and she was grinning with rotten teeth. She was staring right at me. I was too scared to move or speak. "What's wrong?" Alan asked again. The old woman moved closer to me, and she screamed again right into my face. I could smell her breath. I screamed again. Alan grabbed me, shaking me. I turned to look at him. I was shaking uncontrollably and I began to cry. He begged me to tell him what was wrong, but I couldn't get the words out. I looked back at the old woman, but she was gone. I looked all around the room. She wasn't there anymore. I woke up in the morning, and I assumed it had been a nightmare. Alan didn't say anything about it, so I must have dreamt it. We got showered, dressed, and went down to breakfast. As he bit into a bacon sandwich, he said, "So, what was all the screaming about in the middle of the night?" Carrigafuca Castle. Located on private land within the market town of Macroom, the weathered ruin of Carrigafuca Castle stands, a testament to centuries of strife and legend. Built between 1436 and 1451 by Dermot More McCarthy, this five-story tower house was crafted from sandstone and limestone, a formidable fortress overlooking the winding pathways of medieval conflict. With its single room per floor, narrow windows, and absence of fireplaces, Carrigafuca Castle bore witness to the turbulent ambitions of the McCarthys of Muskerry, a once great dynasty seeking to reclaim lost territories in the heart of Ireland. The name Carrigafuca itself, when translated from the Irish Gaelic, whispers of mystique as it means "castle on the rock of the fairy." It's a title steeped in the folklore of the land, where legends intertwine with the stark reality of history. Positioned strategically on the route between Macroom and County Kerry, the castle's significance transcends its stone walls. It was a bastion in the ceaseless struggle for power. Through the annals of time, Carrigafuca bore witness to tales of incredible valour and courage, as well as unspeakable evil and truly horrendous acts, such as the infamous legend of Cormac Tadge McCarthy. During the tumultuous Siege of Kinsale in 1601, McCarthy, Lord of Blarney, sought refuge within the castle after aligning himself with the Irish cause. He was appointed High Sheriff of County Cork, and he was responsible for locating Irish rebels. He invited a rival to a banquet in the castle to hopefully form a truce. However, McCarthy never had good intentions, and the rival met his end in the most unimaginable fashion, culminating in a savage act of cannibalism. McCarthy, caught in the act of eating human flesh, claimed that he had been possessed by an evil spirit that had risen up from beneath the castle's foundations. Whether this was a desperate act from a man caught feasting on another human, or whether there may be substance to this claim, and there is something dark and controlling at Carrigafuca, is something we will never know the answer to. Many believe that this is why Cormac Tadhg McCarthy haunts the castle to this day, to atone for his sins. Although, in historical fact, he was actually forgiven by Queen Elizabeth I after he wrote a personal letter of apology to her, at which point he was freed from imprisonment at Carrigafuca Castle. Another entity that lurks in the shadows of the ruin is the dreaded Pooka. In Irish folklore, the Pooka is both feared and revered, a guardian of ancient sites with the power to bestow fortune or wreak havoc. At Carrigafuca, there are tales abound of a malevolent Pooka, a grim sentinel that prowls the castle's grounds, ready to strike at unsuspecting visitors. Cormac Tadhg McCarthy's claim of possession by an evil force resonates with the lore surrounding this creature, raising the question, was there truth in his desperate defence? The castle itself, although now in ruin, bears the scars of its tumultuous past. Its design, simple yet formidable, speaks volumes of an era when security trumped comfort. The absence of fireplaces hints at its primary function, a bulwark against besiegers, rather than a haven of warmth. The tower's strategic position atop a jagged rock underscores its role as a sentinel, a guardian of the lands it once surveyed. Despite the ravages of time, efforts have been made to preserve Carrigafuca's legacy. Restoration projects undertaken in the 1970s and subsequent decades have ensured that its crumbling walls will stand for generations still to come, as well as ensuring that the Pooka and Cormac Tadhg McCarthy continue to have a fortress to haunt. The River Lee. The River Lee is 56 miles long, winding its way through the heart of County Cork, and it carries within its currents more than just water and silt. Its murky depths conceal secrets, whispers of long-forgotten tales that haunt the imagination like ghosts lingering in the shadows. One such story, woven into the fabric of Cork's history, speaks of a dark betrayal and the restless spirits that it left behind. It was a tale shared in hushed tones, passed down through generations, and brought into the public's consciousness by the legendary English author, broadcaster, and parapsychologist, Peter Underwood. At the centre of this narrative stood the widow, Mrs. Bishop. A figure of wealth and privilege resided in a grand house in the city of Cork, overlooking the river's banks. Behind the facade of opulence, however, lay a shroud of mystery, veiling the truth of her husband's demise, her husband who was never spoken of, and a locked room that held the key to her fortune. In the company of her loyal servants, the orphaned maid Amelia and the handyman Andy, Mrs. Bishop was a secretive woman. Andy and Amelia would speculate on how Mrs. Bishop was so wealthy, and what happened to Mr. Bishop. Amelia was convinced that the secret lay within a locked room. The pair were regularly left alone in the house, as Mrs. Bishop was out in the city, but they had no idea where the key was to open the door to the room. Amelia had a dream where she vividly saw Mrs. Bishop opening a hidden compartment within the drawing room fireplace, retrieving the key, and then using it to unlock the door to the elusive room. A few weeks later, Andy and Amelia were in the house alone one evening, and plucked up the courage to see if Amelia's dream could in fact be reality. They couldn't believe it when they found the key nestled within the secret compartment from Amelia's dream. They took the key and tentatively headed inside the secret room. The atmosphere was thick as they crossed that forbidden threshold, and once inside they looked around the room they'd speculated upon for so long. There was a four-poster bed, mirrors, and a large safe in the corner. Their attention was suddenly drawn by something in one of the mirrors. This was not a reflection of anything in the room with them, but rather a vision of the past. They saw a man lying asleep in the bed, a man they did not recognise. Then they saw a woman quietly creep up to him, holding a pillow in her hand. She then held the pillow over the face of the man. His arms and legs thrashed as he tried to fight for his life, but she held on tight, pushing down upon him with all of her weight. He was then still. He was dead. They didn't recognise the man, but they did recognise the woman. It was a younger version of Mrs. Bishop. The man was her late husband, and the pair had just witnessed his murder. Before the two of them could get out of the room and replace the secret key, Mrs. Bishop returned home. They both hid in the room, but Mrs. Bishop caught Amelia and dragged her out of the house and into the darkness of the night. Andy followed them, but he was too fearful to act. Amelia was dragged down to the river, where her head was held beneath the water's surface. Andy watched on, but did nothing. And before long, Amelia was dead, drowned in the River Lee. Her body was callously thrown into the river by Mrs. Bishop, and the current took it away downstream. Andy was haunted by guilt, and confided in somebody who went to the police. Mrs. Bishop was questioned by authorities, but she was a rich, powerful woman, and the victim was just a servant girl. Even when Amelia's body was found floating in the river a couple of weeks later, she was buried, and the matter was considered closed, as she was now laid to rest. But Amelia was far from at rest, as she appeared on the riverside, wearing all black and with a face twisted in fear and terror. It is said that Amelia's ghost still wanders the riverside on nights of a full moon, crying out for help. Due to this, fearful locals seldom walk the River Lee alone come nightfall. The Hollywood Estate. In March 2010, number 18 Hollywood Estate, a typical council house on Cork's north side, was catapulted into the paranormal spotlight. Originating from the whispers of local media, the story swiftly traversed the globe, and what was being reported was straight out of a Hollywood horror movie. For 2 years the house had lay empty, its halls devoid of life. That was until Laura Burke, her son Kyle, and her fiancé Richie Hewitt moved in and turned the house into a home. At first the family reported nothing amiss. Yet, as the dawn of 2010 brought exciting news for the family as Laura fell pregnant, their bright future quickly became a living nightmare. The odd happenings were small at first. Keys vanished into thin air, only to reappear in unexpected places. Clothing shifted mysteriously around, and taps turned on of their own accord, flooding the sink, despite nobody having been in the room. As the days passed, the anomalies multiplied, escalating in both frequency and intensity. Religious pictures hanging on the wall crashed to the floor. As the family slept, the nighttime silence was broken by blood-curdling screams that pierced the veil of night. Glowing orbs of light danced through the rooms, seeming to move with purpose. Shadowy figures were seen moving fleetingly out the corner of the terrified family members' eyes. Furniture lifted impossibly into the air and then crashed back down to earth. Adrian Payton visited the house, and he had lived there previously for 26 years when he experienced absolutely nothing out of the ordinary. He told the media that he saw a kitchen drawer slide open of its own volition and a table ascended from the ground with a deliberate slowness, defying the laws of gravity before the eyes of the bewildered. During a televised interview, Laura recounted the horrors that had plagued their home. Chairs shuffled across the floor, shadows lurked in the corners, and foul odours permeated the air. Richie shared his own chilling encounter, describing how a pair of eyes peered malevolently through his bedroom window, leaving him paralysed with fear. The breaking point arrived when 5-year-old Kyle was violently thrown from his bed by an unseen force. The family fled the house forever. They contacted Cork City Council, appealing for another home, but they were refused as the council told them that they don't rehome people due to paranormal activity. They were left with no alternative, and they moved in with Laura's mother, leaving 18 Hollywood Estate to its spectral inhabitants. On the 17th of March 2010, the newspaper The Irish Examiner reported on the story, as a shaman practitioner, Galway-based Paul O'Halloran, was brought in to cleanse the now empty house. The story had the headline, "Couple claim evil spirit drove them out of their home," and the story read, "A medium is being called in to cleanse a haunted house after a young couple claimed that an evil spirit forced them out of their dream home. 6 months pregnant Laura Burke and her fiancé Richie Hewitt vowed last night never to return to 18 Hollywood Estate, off the Blarney Road on Cork's north side. "I can't move back in," a terrified Laura said yesterday, during her first visit to the house in 3 weeks. "My son Kyle can't come near the place. He was thrown out of his bed and thrown across the room. That was the final straw. He doesn't want to come back in again because he's afraid of being thrown out of his bed by the eyes. That's what he calls it. I'll never bring a child into this house. I really am petrified." The couple and Kyle, who's 5, are now staying with Laura's mother Aileen nearby. They pleaded with Cork City Council to find them a new house. "We've sent 11 letters to the council, but they're not listening to us," Richie said. Cork City Council's housing official Kieran O'Donovan was with the couple yesterday. "We were made aware of the situation last week, and because of the extraordinary circumstances we are treating the case sympathetically," he said. "But there is no transfer request with the council at the moment. The volume of alleged evidence is not enough to warrant a transfer, and we don't take alleged paranormal activity into account when deciding on such cases." Hundreds of people arrived in the estate yesterday to view the haunted house. Garda were on duty to control the traffic. The white three-bedroom house is the last in a terrace of 4. Its ESB meter box has been vandalised and several windows smashed since the couple moved out. It has since been boarded up and made secure. The couple moved in last August, almost 2 years after its previous owner Adrian Payton moved out and sold it to the council. He lived there for 26 years and said he never encountered anything unusual. Neighbours said the house was vacant for several months before the couple moved in, and they said that gangs gained access and held drink and drug parties there. There are also rumours that some gangs may have used a Ouija board or held a seance inside. Laura said the strange activity started a few weeks ago with small things, including items like keys or clothing going missing, the cooker would switch itself on, water would run from the kitchen tap and the sink would fill up, cushions on the couch would flip over. She said the activity became more violent in recent weeks, including glasses flying off the kitchen top, cupboard doors opening and closing and the contents flying across the room. An ashtray flew off the mantelpiece and nearly hit a friend. A chair began to shake violently when Richie's mother Imelda prayed in the kitchen. The couple called in 2 priests who have celebrated masses in the home and blessed the property. But the problems continued. Adrian Payton visited the couple and said he couldn't believe what was happening. "Myself and Richie were in the kitchen and the very next thing a drawer flew open. There was no explanation," he said. "Then this very heavy wooden kitchen table just lifted off the ground. It was done so gently. It just came up nice and easy. And then came down very, very angry with a big thud. I reckon what's in here is evil. So many people have seen so many things and we can't all be going mad." Richie said that he and Laura fought to get the house and insisted last night that they have no reason to lie. "When we came in, this house was a shambles," he said. "The work that I and Laura's grandfather have put in was unbelievable. We had a grand backyard, the neighbours are lovely, the kids loved it. The school is only around the corner." Laura said that they didn't ask for all of this attention. "We tried to keep it as quiet as possible, but this is ridiculous. I grew up in this area, it's heartbreaking. It was our dream house, but now we have been driven out by an evil spirit," she said. 3 days later, on the 20th of March, the newspaper once again reported on 18 Hollywood Estate as it ran a story with the headline, "Shame and Clear Spirits from Haunted House." A shamanic practitioner has cleared hundreds of spirits from a haunted house in Cork City, he said last night. Galway-based Paul O'Halloran said that many of the spirits in the house at 18 Hollywood Estate off the Blarney Road on Cork's north side were of children who had been buried in unmarked graves. The haunted house has been at the centre of a media frenzy this week, following reports that a family vacated their home following flying dishes, elevating tables and visions of spirits. Mr. O'Halloran, who has 20 years' experience in spiritual and shamanic healing, house clearing and land healing, said that he released the trapped spirits by conducting an ancient shamanic ritual to set them free. Mr. O'Halloran set up an altar with sticks, stones and crystals from sacred places to channel good energy. The practice, centred around the medicine wheel, was one used by the Aboriginals, the ancient Indians and the Celts. He said that it was a holistic process, focusing in on the mental, emotional, physical and spiritual levels. Mr. O'Halloran said that contrary to media reports that the spirits were evil, he felt their actions were simply a way of getting the family's attention so that they could be set free. What happened to the family began at very subtle levels with things being moved. But then when these things were ignored, they intensified their actions. It was a way of letting them know that they were there. Mr. O'Halloran said that he did not know why the spirits were in the house, but there was a lot of famine energy and soldier energy. Last night, former occupants of the house Laura Burke, 21, and her fiancé Richie Hewitt, said even though Mr. O'Halloran was claiming that all of the spirits were gone, they would still not be returning. The family finally left the house a few weeks ago after the couple's 5-year-old son Kyle was flung out of his bed. Miss Burke said the house was constantly cold, even when the heating was on, and that picture frames would fall off the walls, sinks would overflow, and that the neighbours would hear screaming in the house when it was unoccupied. The couple have pleaded with Cork City Council to find them a new house. Before long, the media interest in the house died away, as with nobody living there, there was no new occurrences to report. But for those living in the street, it took a little longer for things to return to normal, as people local to the area, or who happened to be in Cork, would come to get a glimpse of the infamous house, drawn to it by morbid curiosity. Teenagers began to use it as a meeting place, sitting in the street outside drinking while waiting for something to happen. As was mentioned in the news story, it soon fell victim to vandalism, as windows were smashed and the doors were boarded shut by the council to keep people out. Those living in Hollywood Estate were sceptical of Laura and Richie's stories, believing that they simply wanted the council to give them a better house. But the truth behind the haunting may forever elude comprehension, and the legacy of its enigmatic tale now remains etched in the annals of Cork's folklore, a testament to the enduring allure of the unknown. You can follow How Haunted on Twitter at @HowHauntedPod or over on Instagram at @HowHauntedPod, where you will see photos galore relating to our ghost trail of County Cork. If you want to get in touch, you can do so by visiting the website at www.how-haunted.com, or you can email me at rob@how-haunted.com. If you'd like to support the show, you could sign up to one of 3 Patreon tiers. They start at as little as £1. You can get early ad-free access to episodes and a monthly bonus episode where I conduct a paranormal investigation, talking you through the history, the ghost stories, and what happened on the night itself. This is interspersed with audio from the ghost hunt, so you can hear what happened exactly as it happened. What's more, there's a free 7-day trial at the £3 tier, so you could get access right now to February's special episode, in which you join me overnight at the Dean Court Hotel. Then there are all of the other special episodes, which include the big Halloween special at the Golden Fleece in York, Dalhousie Castle Hotel, the York Dungeon, Bedlam Theatre, Kielder Castle, Haggerston Castle Holiday Park, and the 48 hours I spent in the company of a haunted doll. You can also get yourself some exclusive How Haunted merch, including a mug and a t-shirt. Find out more at patreon.com/howhauntedpod. If you'd like to support the show but you aren't a fan of Patreon, why not donate a couple of pounds to help with the admin side of the podcast? You can do this at buymeacoffee.com/howhauntedpod. All the information and links are in this podcast episode description. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please consider leaving a review on your podcast provider of choice. It really does help other people to find How Haunted. Next time out, our ghost trail continues, as we visit in turn 12 more locations, which includes an asylum, a jail, a school, religious sites, a whole host of pubs, and even a lake where a birthday party continues eternally below the depths. Join me next episode, as once again we ask, just how haunted is County Cork? Thank you so much for accompanying me for our paranormal adventures once again. Stay safe, and join me next time, when we will once again ask the question, how haunted?